It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. The Seattle Fringe Theater Festival kicks off this week, and for many years it was an annual event in the local theater community. Money, among other things, forced the festival to shut down a few years ago. Last year, artists banded together to revive it. Now the Fringe attracts artists from around the country. The festival launch seemed like a good time to invite Seattle Times theater writer Misha Burson in to talk about the health of Seattle's Fringe theater community. Hello. Nice to see you again.
Hi, Marcy.
This festival forever has always been sort of a grassroots thing, and so has the Fringe community itself, isn't it?
Yeah, the Fringe Festival is a movement. I mean, you know, of course, you have Edinburgh, the mother of all Fringe festivals, and then we are also near the Victoria, the Vancouver Fringe festivals, which are big. It does depend very much on the artists themselves and their little companies to get it off the ground and to keep it rolling. For a while in Seattle in the 90s, it was a big thing. It was spread out among a lot of different venues. It had backing from some commercial operations. But it is a hard thing to keep going when all these companies also are trying to keep their own operations going.
I know it's your job to see theater from the big houses to little small companies, so you do see a lot, and I don't actually have a sense of if there are a certain number of set small companies or if small theater comes and goes, that it's more of a fluid kind of thing.
Well, we have an interesting ecosphere in Seattle at the moment, and of course things always change.
Right.
But right now, we're in a really good space where we have a lot of artists coming out of Cornish and out of the UW Drama Program who are equipped and excited to do their own work and not necessarily to run off, try to get commercial jobs in L.A. or New York, which is very hard. But who really want to do something that they create together. So we have had that kind of energy for the last 10 years, and I think it's really grown. And some of those companies have really sustained. It's the 10th anniversary of Washington Ensemble Theater, which was
That's amazing.
Started as a fringe theater by UW students leaving
I think it was a student project.
It was, yeah. And it's a very viable theater. They're going to be moving into the new arts live-work space on 12th Avenue. And we have companies that are actually have equity actors, have actors who try to make their living and also who work at the Rep and some of the other big houses who have their own smaller companies that they're interested in doing, you know, work that may not happen in some of the bigger houses like New Century. So one of the things that I find fascinating right now is that it's very difficult to actually define what's a fringe company and what's not a fringe company.
One of the things I wondered was the role of the Central Heating Lab at ACT Theater in the fortunes, or at least keeping alive some of these smaller companies, because it's an interesting formula. They are providing small performance spaces. They're essentially an umbrella for little nonprofits.
I think that's been a really important move, and it's one that's allowed some of the smaller companies like Azeotrope, really terrific company, and SA Teatro to do shows without a huge financial burden with a very skilled production company behind them. They have to do most of the work. I mean, ACT is not, you know, totally producing the show in any stretch in most cases. But the fact that they're given that wonderful showcase and support, and also just given the kind of imprimatur of a very well-respected theater like ACT is real helpful.
We were talking about the last decade or so, the sort of health, or at least the ecosphere of all these small theaters. There was a worry that when some of the mid-level companies closed, Empty Space comes right to my mind, that there were going to be the big equity houses, the big ones that hire union employees, union actors, have some money, and then a whole bunch of young aspiring theater artists who are happy to sleep on the floor and be more nomadic, and then nowhere to bridge the gap. And so are there places that are sort of providing stepping stones for those young nomads?
Yeah, I think actually we do have them. And before I go into that, I preface it with saying any actor listening is going to say, well, God, it's still almost impossible to make a living as an actor in Seattle. So, you know, be that as it may, we have the enormous success of Book It Rep. You know, they may not be rolling in dough, but they are a really viably nationally known company. Seattle Shakespeare has become more and more sophisticated and more popular. Taproot Theater has grown in maturity. They're about to open a second space. And so we have theaters that are kind of come into fruition as mid-sized theaters. Sometimes they have equity contracts, sometimes they don't. It's not a huge payday for anybody, but it is a way for actors to move from very small theaters up toward larger theaters. And I think also they're doing work that sometimes you won't see anywhere else.
Misha Burson writes about theater for the Seattle Times. Great to have you come in here.
Nice to be here.
It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.